Day, amen. Turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. First, we just read it a moment ago, Isaiah in chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and I grew this thing on my face anticipating cold weather today. It didn't work out. Got permission from my wife to grow it out. Still not man enough to grow it on the sides a little bit, so it'll be gone by next Sunday, but just letting it grow out a little bit, it'll be all right. And again, I hope you had a good Christmas. I'm going to have to do something this morning. That's unbutton this top button. That's the Christmas weight. It's already affecting me. I've had a lot of love shown towards me in the last few weeks. I appreciate that. And the way the church ladies show their love for their pastors by giving me candy and pies, and I've enjoyed every one of them. And as usual, next Monday, I'll start a diet. We'll start the new year off. Actually, I'm going to start it on Sunday because January 1st is on the Sunday, so I'm going to start it on Sunday. Me and Brother Jantz are going to start together. January 1st. All right. Everybody good? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even, I love it, forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your dear Son who came and was born in that lowly manger, who lived a perfect life, Lord, who died and was buried and rose again, that we, that I, might have eternal life. Again, we pray this morning as we focus upon the birth of your Son, that you will encourage us, that you will strengthen us, and God, that we will walk away better off from what we've heard from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, as a child he was born, and as a son he was given. And let me tell you, he came to earth that in order that he might seek and to save that which is lost. And his name, the Bible says, shall be called Wonderful. Shall be called Wonderful. It is called Wonderful today. We preached just a couple of weeks ago on the name Jesus, the Savior, that his name is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that everyone will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to Lord of the glory of God the Father. So his name shall be called Wonderful, the prophecy of Isaiah. Christ is called Wonderful because of what he is. That word wonderful is translated in other parts of the Bible. It's translated miraculous or marvelous. Christ is the marvel of marvels. Christ is the miracle of miracles. Christ is the wonder of wonders. His name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful is also translated, everybody staying with me, separated or distinguished. In other words, he's above any living creature or angel. He is set apart, and the Bible speaks of him specifically being set apart as holy. Holy. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. The Bible says of him that he is the chief among 10,000 and altogether lovely. His name is Wonderful. Amen. Love that song. Learned as a kid. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is Wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Was it? Remember the rest? He's the Great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him. Love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. We sing those choruses, and what great scripture they back up. His name shall be called wonderful. Again, unique, totally set apart, above all else, above all others. His name is called wonderful. His name is wonderful for what he's done in the past. And you think, well, Jesus Christ has always existed? Yes, he's always existed. Remember, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. And the crowd said, how can you be before Abraham? And of course, we know he's before Abraham because he's God. He's just as much God as though he'd never been man, just as much man as though he'd never been God. He's the God-man. He has and always has existed. His eternal existence, begotten of his Father before the worlds were framed. He was begotten. That word begotten is not the word for the same word as made. He was not made. The Bible makes it clear that he is co-equal with God, co-eternal with God. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Him being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Listen, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've done a lot of preaching on that in the last few weeks. And around Christmas time, it's important for us to be reminded that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. Jesus Christ is God. This is Dr. Barber, one of my favorite preachers, said this. He always has been God. He always shall be God. God never changes. God never diminishes. He will always be the same. Jesus Christ was God in the world above. He was God in the plains of Mamre as he spoke to Abraham. He was God on Mount Sinai when he gave the commandments and the law of Moses. He was God in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He was God in the manger at Bethlehem. He was God in the carpenter shop at Nazareth. He was God in the boat at Lake Galilee. He was God in the temple at Jerusalem. He was God on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was God in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He was God on the cross as he cried out, "It is finished." He was God in the tomb of Joseph as he lay still in death. And he was God in the morning of the resurrection as he broke asunder the bands of death and came out triumphantly over death, the grave, and hell. He was God on the Mount of Olives as his feet left the sacred spot. And he was God in the cloud of ascension as he went away. He is God at the right hand of the throne now. He will be God coming again as he comes in a flaming fire to take vengeance upon all who know not him and who have never trusted him as Savior. He's God. He's God. What's wonderful about him? In that he has always existed. His wonderful incarnation, Christ, the eternal one, became flesh. God, who created the world, became flesh. Born in a manger, born of a virgin. We think about that amazing humiliation, that he who was rich became poor for us. Amazing humiliation. Amen. Amazing humiliation. Amazing humiliation. Psalm 8:5 says, and he was made a little lower than the angels. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The amazing humiliation. The God who made the trees, the God who made the stars, the God who made the universe, became flesh for us. The God who owns all things. I know I'm repeating. God who created all things became like one of us. It's an amazing thought. I do believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of heaven, and yet he was poor, despised, persecuted, and slandered by men. While I believe it, I cannot understand it. Let me say that again. This is a quote by Spurgeon. He says this, I do believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of heaven, and yet he was poor, despised, persecuted, and slandered by men. While I believe it, I cannot understand it. What love. What love he extended and showed to us. He also is wonderful in his death. Think about this. God was crucified. God in the flesh was crucified. How and why? Well, the one who is Lord of all was crucified. The one who framed the worlds by his voice was crucified. The one who is the everlasting from everlasting was crucified. The one whom our very breath and lives hang on was crucified. Remember, he says, in him we live and move and have our being. The one who created us died for us. Think about that song, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, his love to me? Love beyond all human comprehension. Love, oh, how could it be? That love, what wonderful love he showed to us. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's wonderful in his resurrection. Mary and those ladies came to the tomb. What did they find? They found an empty tomb. And the angel said, "What seek ye?" And they said, "We seek the Christ." He said, "He's not here. He is risen. He is risen." And let me tell you, he came up from the grave. He arose a victor. And he now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful. He's wonderful for what he's doing now, in that now he is saving to the uttermost all those who will come to him. He came, the Bible says, to this earth to seek and to save that which is lost. And he's still saving mankind by way of his life, his death, and his resurrection. I'm thankful today he rose from the dead. But his birth is important in that if he had not been born, he could not have died. There's some crazy people on the internet every once in a while that really downplay Christmas and even go to the extent that Christmas is some kind of satanic holiday. And you say, maybe you haven't read that, but I have. I have some preacher friends who like to debate stuff. And let me just tell you, and I don't want to shock anybody. I know we got kids in here. Christ may not have been born exactly on this day. Amen. Probably not. I'm just telling you, that's historically accurate. But it is the day we've been set aside to celebrate his birth. And why would we do that? I don't mean to shock anybody, but Christ's resurrection may not have been exactly, you know what I'm saying? All right, so everybody's good? No debates in here? You're here, right? Christ was born. He became flesh. Why wouldn't we celebrate that? By the way, had he not been born, as we preached last Sunday, had he not been born a virgin, we could not have salvation anyway. So his birth is as important as his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because without any of them, you don't have salvation. They're all essential to the gospel. Amen. Thankful today that he is still working. That he is saving lives. Now, he's saving lives in that he is saving us spiritually. I'm glad today that I know that I'm saved, that one day when I die, heaven will be my home. I hope you know that as well. Amen? I hope today you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. The Bible makes it very clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto salvation. With a mouth confession is made unto salvation. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. By the way, I'm glad God's no respecter of person. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Well, saved from the wrath of God upon sin. You say, well, why would... Well, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. You say, well, I know, preacher, we're all going to die someday. Well, the Bible makes that clear too. It says it's appointed unto man. And by the way, when the Bible uses man, it's meaning mankind. Amen. It's appointed unto mankind once to die. And after this, the judgment. We're all headed that way. You know, some a little faster than others, depending on how much you eat the next week. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death is inevitable. We're all headed that direction, right? But when the Bible speaks of death, it's speaking more of physical death. More than just physical death, it's speaking of spiritual death. Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. You need to be born twice.
Amen.
in order to escape the second death. I hope you've had two births. Physical birth, you're here this morning, you must have. And you need a spiritual birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says the penalty of not being born again, the penalty for being a sinner is death, and that death, spiritually speaking, is hell. It's hell. By the way, hell is not just separation from God. Hell is a real place. The Bible says where the worm dieth not, and the fire is eternal. I want to escape that place. And therefore, when I was 6 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I escaped the penalty of sin. I was saved. I use this illustration a lot, but when I was little, I was swimming in the Bowie Lake. I think it's called the Amon Carter or something. And I was swimming in the Bowie Lake. I was 6 or 7 or 8. I don't remember exactly. And I was in this little blow-up canoe, and my mom and some others were swimming around, and I did not know how to swim yet. I went out for a little ways in that little canoe, and when I went to turn around, I fell over into the water above my head. I could not swim. Miraculously, I remembered a Popeye cartoon that I'd seen when olive oil had gone down into the water, and you see her little fingers come up. Y'all remember those cartoons? The new kids don't know, but remember she would go down the water. That happened in lots of cartoons. That was Popeye's deal. He came in to save her all the time, you know? And so that's exactly what I did. That's what came into my mind. I promise you, it's as vivid as, you know, I nearly died, so it's as vivid as ever. And I went down to the water, and I pushed back up, and I would wave my hand, and I would go back down to the water, and I'd push off the bottom and wave my hand. And finally, my mom saw me, and she came and saved me. She saved me from drowning and got me back up on the land and got the water out of me. It was close. I mean, I saw the hand of Jesus reach. No, I didn't really, but I'm telling you, my mom saved me. She saved me. I could have and possibly could have died. She saved me. I'm thankful for her physically saving me. Jesus Christ saves us. He snatches us out of that penalty of sin. He came and died and was buried and rose again in order that he might save us from the wrath of sin, to save us from hell, to save us from the penalty of sin. And again, I hope today you know you're saved. Jesus Christ is saving souls. He's still transforming lives. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We live in a world today that thinks there are thousands of roads to get to heaven. Jesus Christ emphatically said there's only one road to heaven, and that's through him, through his life, his death, and his resurrection. So he's either crazy or he's a liar or he's truthful. I'm just going to put stock in the Bible's true because I've seen him work in my own life. I've seen the evidence of the Bible working in my own life, and I've seen it work in so many others' lives. He is still saving souls. Number two, he's still transforming lives. Me and my oldest son had this conversation yesterday. What is the greatest way? What is the greatest education, or what is the greatest way in order to take someone who has lived a terrible life, someone who has lived a sinful life, and transform their lives? You know, what's the best way to do that? How's any life to be transformed? I'm talking about not escaping hell and going to heaven. That's awesome. And if that's all it is, hallelujah. But I'm talking about here now. Can I tell you the best way a life can be transformed here and now? The best way, in fact, it's the greatest way, it's the awesomest way, is through Jesus Christ. Because he can change a heart. See, a 12-step program won't change a heart. A 5-step program won't change a heart. They'll still have the old nature and still have the old yearnings and still have that. But see, when you would get saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive a new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing today. Today, he is still transforming lives. And we see some of that evidence here in this room today. That he can take a drug addict and clean him up. That he can take a selfish a dad and make them a selfless dad. He can take an alcoholic and clean him up. I mean, God can transform lives. Amen. And he's doing it today. I'm thankful. His name is wonderful because he's saving souls today. And because he's still transforming lives. Listen, if you're here today and said, "Preacher, I'm waiting until next Sunday, and I'm going to start, you know, all anew again." And I'm, if you're looking for a transformation, the greatest transformation that you'll ever receive is accepting Christ as your Savior. You say, "Well, I'll turn over a new leaf." Listen, turning over a new leaf won't get you saved. Get saved, and God will help you turn over a new leaf. He is still transforming lives. Lastly, that's what everybody wanted to hear. He is wonderful for what he is going to do. And I alluded to this already today. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others should have no hope." Listen, one day the trumpet will sound. One day, as Paul says there in Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul says, comfort one another with these words. We take comfort in knowing that Christ will return one day. That one day He will return for us. One day, and I'll mention this as well, one day the wicked will be judged. One day He's coming for us. Jesus said there in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." One day He's coming again. I won't take the time to read 1 Corinthians 15, but the Bible says He'll come in a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. One day the trumpet will sound. Say, "Preacher, you still believe that stuff?" Absolutely. I know there's mockers out there. Peter said there'll be mockers in the last days. Amen. Who'll ask the question, "Where is the promise of His coming? You know, why has you've been talking about it for years? When is he going to come?" Well, He could come today. He could come right now. All prophecy has been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled. He could come today. Man, what a day that'll be. "When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be." What a day that'll be. He's wonderful for what He's going to do in the future. He's wonderful for what He's doing now. He's wonderful for what He did in the past. And I'm thankful today that His name is wonderful. He is wonderful. Wonderful. Let's all stand. 161. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. We'll sing a verse of invitation after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for, again, Your Son, who is wonderful. Wonderful for what He did for us there on the cross of Calvary and shedding His blood for us. Wonderful for His mediation now and making intercession for us and changing lives. I pray today, Lord, that there's someone here who's never been saved, that they would take courage and step out of their chair and come forward and to this altar and accept Christ today. God, maybe there's here someone today who needs that grace today, who needs that transforming power. I pray today that You would just touch their hearts in a great way. Lord, we look so forward to Your coming again. Even so, Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen.